aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show off for another day of broadcast insolence. Thank you all for being here. It's a Friday. I would like to say this is a big moment. Yasmani Rendall is going to be with us. This the kids couldn't be happier, could they?
I'm so excited.
The White Sox are the story nationally and locally here. It's they're making some noise. And look, we said we anticipated them to spend more money than they ever have. And they've already committed 120-something million to two players over a course of 48 hours. That should get you excited, Ro.
I am excited. I really am. Because they already had a really good catcher. I was confused by this move to go out and spend a lot of money.
Yeah, but this catcher's better. No offense to James McCann. I'm a huge James McCann fan. Yeah. He's a good guy.
So is he still the backup? But I mean, he was a slayer last year.
I could see them pairing McCann with Giolito, because Giolito is a big fan of McCann, and he credits him to a lot of the success he had last season. So he catches.
So like Papa Rossi.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that worked out just fine for the Cubs in 2016.
That's
between
true.
Contreras and Ross.
Right. And you can always have, you have a good guy coming off the bench to hit, and you got a really good DH, right?
Yeah. And the roster's moved to 26 this year, 26 man roster compared to 25. So you might see a lot more teams carrying three catchers this season, take a load off.
Oh.
So I think Grandal is 70% of the time your catcher. You can mix him in a DH if you need to, work the pitching matchup, rotate between Jose Abreu, McCann, and Grandal. Again, you can never have too much talent.
Well, won't they have a one-pitch setup guy, though? Is that going into effect this year?
Yes, it is. You've got to face a minimum of three batters, which is like I love this. I know baseball purists hate it. For someone who covers baseball and sits through the moment when the manager with the limp walks to the mound, calls for the left arm specialist.
The fat guy shuffle.
Just praying that he doesn't fall down when he gets to the mound. And then the guy comes, throws one pitch, gets a guy out, and then the slow walk to the mound again. Mm-hmm. All this, two batters in a... takes about 20 minutes, so yeah. I'm fine with it. Moves the game
right. Okay, yeah. So then you won't have the one pitch specialist so you could have three catchers. All right, I get it. Anyway, that's not really the point. The point is we can talk to Yasmani about all of this coming up. It's in this hour, as a matter of fact, about 3:45. You can hear him. All-star catcher who's the new member of the White Sox, and the Cubs got to be happy about this too because it gets him out of NL Central.
That's true. I didn't think he was going to stay with Milwaukee, but there were some reports that the Brewers did offer him a deal, and the White Sox gave him a better deal.
And who's the other big money deal?
Well, Jose Abreu signed an extension, so he's not going anywhere. The slugger signed a three-year, $50 million extension. He had accepted.
Wasn't that a conversation that so many Sox fans were having, too, that we're the home of the White Sox, which is why we're starting off with that. I just want to say that. But Jose Abreu is one of those team leader heart guys, right?
100%.
That they really, really, really knew they had to keep.
I mean, seeing his teammates, Eloy Jimenez, Tim Anderson, on social media when the news broke, they're all like, thank you, thank you, thank you. They're super happy. He's definitely a leader in the clubhouse and means a lot to a lot of those young players.
So. When there were questions, you had that interview with Jose where he was just talking about how he wants to be a White Sox forever.
Yeah, he was like,
how could you say
no to
that?
You want to be with the White Sox forever? He's like, no, I will be. He's like, I'll play for free if that's what it takes.
You see, now, when he said that, immediately, I thought what my agent's reaction would be. Baby, darling, Bubby, sweetheart, please don't say that. Don't ever, ever, I don't care what else you say. Say you'll kill yourself in Times Square. Do not say that you are going to work for free, because 10% of free is nothing.
Well, it all worked out. His agent got a pretty penny as well. However that works out, you know the inner workings more than I do. With $50 million, I think everybody's getting a little cheddar.
Yeah.
No, but you had to keep him. I mean, he really kind of started this turn for the White Sox back in 2014, and things have just built. And he's become such a leader, a very strong bat for us. I would have been.
It would
really
have been like getting rid of Rizzo for the Cubs.
Yeah,
that sort of the thing. Yeah,
in a sense. Yeah. I always love how Lauren refers to it as us.
I do. I can't help it.
White Sox organization. That's all right. You're a diehard.
Thank God.
going to judge anybody.
That's how you know how much I care about a team. If I don't say we or us, then I
they mean nothing
don't
to
care.
You.
Yeah,
and the Blackhawks. We had a very good night last night at the Blackhawks. I wish the Blackhawks had as good a night as we had. Watching them last night, we had an opportunity to sit down on the glass for a little bit of the game.
First time experience, and that is a different world.
Well, that's your first time. Yeah. You can't help but turn into a hockey nut when you're on the glass and start pounding it at some point, because you always see guys on TV, like, look at these maniacs in the front row. But you can't help it. They score a goal, and your initial reaction is punch the glass.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's true. Or if there's a fight in front of you, you start punching like you're going to hit a guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's quite fun. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. The Knarble Wagon is going to roll. We're going to have a special guest on the Brokon Show for the Knarble Wagon. Very, very special guest. But first, Lauren Lapka tells us what's happening in the skies and on the roads. All right, we saw David Hochberg was at the game last night. We happened to
ran into David.
See him as well. There you go. All right, let's tell you about the weekend weather, because that's what we do on a Friday. We like to get a hold of our friend Demetrius Ivory, who really tries to block our calls. And you can tell when you're being blocked, right? Because you immediately go to voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
Or you ring once and you go to voicemail. Mm-hmm. That's even the worst. When you immediately go to voicemail, you think, oh, well, maybe the phone's off. But when you ring once and you go to voicemail, or twice.
That's a message being sent right
there.
Yeah,
that is like, I'm not interested in you, ever. Stop calling.
It's like a facepalm moment.
I always call right back when that happens, out of frustration.
Right, and what happens then? That's happening to us right now as I'm looking at the phone lines. Our producer is calling and they're like,
Well, I will say we have a beautiful view. Your backdrop, bro, is a mm-hmm. It was mostly a sun-filled day. It was pretty nice out there.
Yeah, it was very nice.
A little crisp, but this is a nice day.
After a cloudy week, it was very refreshing to have the sun out today.
It was a late December burst of sun, which you rarely get. That's what it is, even though it's
November,
late November now.
And when I wake up and there's sunshine coming into the bedroom window, I'm like, what is that? What's going on out there?
Is this the end?
Construction lights in the backyard? What's happening?
Exactly. Oh, wait, there's a tunnel. Oh, Grandma! Grandma, do you remember me?
It almost freaks me out a little bit. It's like, where am I? What happened? What's blinding my eyes?
Oh, well, I want to go to the good place, right? I'm going to the good place. All right. Do we have him? Where is he? We don't have him.
Getting ghosted by Demetrius. Classic Demetrius move.
He's at the Botanic Garden.
Ooh.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, which is, you know, super nice and super, like, fancy. And maybe they think it's too low rent for him to take a call on his cell phone.
No cell phones. Put the cell phone down.
Put it in your suit jacket pocket, because there's no casual clothes allowed over here.
I need to know about Thanksgiving weather. Need to know what my football pickup Turkey Day matchup is going to look like.
That's what we're waiting on. And we're
well, and
desperate.
All the parades. You're going to want to know for that.
Tomorrow, right?
Yeah, tomorrow's parade.
Now, it's funny that you say that, because don't you do the weather on this show?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Can you fill for Demetrius while he ghosts us
at
the Botanic
Gardens?
I could
tell you, but you know, he's the professional. So that's really up to you.
All right. No, I think you're going to have to. I think we got no choice here.
Okay, so what day do you want to know? You just want to know for the weekend?
All right, so today we know what this is. Now, tomorrow, that's the big... I already saw the police command vans.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's a real deal going on.
Right, down there. All right, we finally found Demetrius.
Right.
You're off the hook, Lauren.
That was something. All right, we're talking about tomorrow, because tomorrow is the big parade down Michigan Avenue where Mickey, who just turned 91, so he'll have to wear a sweater, right, or something, because he doesn't want to get a chill. But that... is a lot of people come to that. They say close to 1 million people come downtown for that. So what do we know about that for tomorrow?
Well, it looks really good, actually. I mean, we'll see highs in the low 40s, sun and clouds. There's going to be a chance for a little bit of a rainstorm mix, but that'll be south and east of Chicago. So it looks good. Like you said, sweater weather, I mean, it's going to be, you know, almost normal, but a few degrees cooler than normal. So you definitely got to bundle up. A lot like today, just add a few degrees to it.
Oh, what is it today? Yeah. What did it get to today?
So far, we're up into the upper 30s, so it's kind of a stinker. I mean, typical high would be right around 45. The thing is, yesterday we were in the mid-50s, so the change from day to day is, I think, what's got a lot of folks like, this is terrible.
I'm going to tell you right now, I would rather take 45 and sunny, then 55 and whatever the hell that was yesterday.
Yeah, it's really gloomy. It was so windy.
Yeah, it was windy. It was like, it was little droplets. There weren't even droplets. It looked like slices of water. Is it possible for water to slice and not be ice? I don't know, but it was. Like these little slices were like shavings. Water shavings is what they were. They were landing on my car, and I'm like, and then they were intermittent, so you're like, you're on the expressway, and it's kind of dirty, and you hit the thing, the intermittent wiper, and it wipes, worse, and then it makes it worse, and then you wait for it to get wet, and then it gets wet, and you kind of see, then it makes it worse, smears it again. It was, I gotta just tell you, again, I am done with this winter, and it's not even Thanksgiving.
I think you're making it sound too nice. You said shaving. Shaving sounds nice. It was
right.
It was pretty uncomfortable when you were in it. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, there's no change coming on. I mean, you know, we got temperatures warming up to maybe mid-40s in time for Thanksgiving, but. No, that big Indian summer, 60-degree day, it's not happening.
Had a good run. There are two falls. The early part of fall where it's beautiful, the leaves are changing, and then there's this fall where it's just ugly.
Leaves are gone.
Any leaf that was clinging on up until yesterday, those are gone now because yesterday was windy and rainy and nasty.
The evil leaves. The evil leaves are the ones that are still holding on. If you see something up in a tree right now, it's either a dead bird that looks like a leaf. It's like died in the middle of the summer and was half eaten by its neighbors, and it's just kind of hanging from there, or some form of like diseased leaf. It's just
poison tree.
Where are you coming up with this?
I'm just telling
you. Have you been attacked by a leaf in the past?
I have trees down my little block. And I can so I can see like right in on my second floor. I can look right into the tree, and there's stuff up in that tree that shouldn't be in that tree. That's all I'm saying.
Dead. This was probably one of our worst fall color seasons for a long time. I mean, you know, that snow early just kind of knocked out all the colors, and then what was left was that you said evil. You know, chickened.
Right. Stuff that some kid threw up in the tree in like 2002 is now sitting up there. It's like now it's been revealed, and you're like, that thing's been there for 18 years. Oh, man. All right. So Sunday, a little bit of sun, right?
Yeah, we'll get some sunshine Sunday, sun and clouds, highs back in the mid 40s. So pretty good for the Bears game. You know, a little bit of a breeze coming in, gusting to about 20. So, the kickers can blame that. They can definitely blame the conditions.
Oh, they will. Don't worry about it. And Trubisky will, too. And this is my favorite story of the day, is that Mitchell Trubisky is there. No injury reported, which I really is because you have to do that for the NFL, right? You have to, like, tell the NFL what the injury was because the NFL gets sued by all the players eventually. and it's going to be emotional distress when Trubisky sues them.
Yeah, he didn't even come up on the injury report. He wasn't even listed. Not even... probable or anything. So
he was crying. Oh. That's what he was.
Well,
he was crying.
Matt Nagy was asked about how was he surprised that Mitch recovered this quickly and that he's not even injury report. And he was like, yeah, kind of.
Injury report, my feelings for QB.
Emotionally.
Right.
Emotional, questionable for Sunday.
Yeah, feelings matter, you know?
I've got all the feelings. I've got all of them, and they're not none of the good ones.
It was a stat saver. Let's just not have another stat, another poor stat come by.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. All right, so Thanksgiving. Right. Remember last Friday when I asked you about Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Now we're within the window for you. So what are you thinking?
So Thanksgiving is not going to be bad. It's the lead up to it. Into Tuesday and Wednesday, there's going to be a system. It's going to be a wet system. Right now it looks like it's going to bring us a little bit of snow, a little bit of rain, probably accumulating snow for Wisconsin. So I think for travel, that's something to keep in mind. It's not really going to be a heavy hit, but, you know, anything you get on that day just makes everyone go from 35 on the expressway to 25 on that because you can't really. And then, but then for Thanksgiving, maybe another little chance for snow mixed in with some rain, but highs in the low 40s. I don't think anything, you know, anything significant or really disruptive that'll keep you from getting to that food, getting to that plate.
Rose got about 17 turkeys to cook, Demetrius, so he needs clear path.
Oh, I do. I got an outdoor turkey, too, I got to do. What I do is I and I hunt the turkey, and I cook it outdoors. It was very, like, first Thanksgiving for me.
There you go. I think it looks okay. Maybe a little bit of light drizzle for you, but that's about it.
Okay. All right. Well, I can do light drizzle. Because I'm going to cover it. It's going around in a rotisserie. It's not like it's good. Yeah, we'll figure it out. That's okay. Yeah. Maybe a little rain droplet.
You're not putting it over a bonfire. So.
No. It's okay. And doing where I'm actually hand cranking it for 2 hours.
Dressed as a pilgrim.
I'm not actually going to do that. Although, if I keep the lid to the grill open, I'm afraid that whatever that thing is up in the tree that looks dead, that hasn't fallen out yet, it's going to fall on the turkey. I can't. I don't want that to happen. That would be bad. All right. Demetrius Ivory, WGN TV Weather. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
All right. There he is. He's a senior member of the Skilling Squad, that guy.
He knows what he's talking about.
Right.
It's a big deal if you're part of the Skilling Squad.
Mm-hmm. That's a big superhero-y kind of thing that goes on there at Channel 9. All right, we have got the news, and then Adam Hoke is going to join us. And then Yasmani Grandal will join us, your newest White Sox, who is really something special. We'll talk to him coming up. Stay right here. It's the Rokan Show on 720 WGN. Adam Hoge is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Satellite from, are you still at Hallis Hall or did you drive home?
I am home now. I'm actually getting ready for this Northwestern game that I'm going to go to. Oh.
Are you working it too?
I'm taking the family tonight.
You want to see them taking on Norfolk State? Is that that's the deal?
Yeah. Well, why not? Yeah, I don't get many opportunities to take my family to Northwestern basketball game, but
they are fun. Great arena.
I mean, that's the thing. The arena's great, so we'll be out there tonight. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, sorting through some of this Bears stuff today.
Not good. Not good, is it, my friend?
What is noteworthy out of Hallis Hall today? Outside?
Hold on. Just wait you 1 second, because this bothered me since I got the text from you guys this morning about this, that Mitchell Trubisky, not even on the injury report.
What injury?
Right. It's like it didn't happen. This is like the Soviet Union. This is like it's like a Stalinist plot that has happened here. We saw him crying on the sidelines, and now he was our fearless hero who never did anything. What is going on here?
I wish I could still explain the whole thing. It's been quite an ordeal. We talked to Chase Daniel yesterday, the backup, who said, yep, he was clearly hurt. I could see it at halftime. I was warming up. I was ready to go. He was legitimately hurt, but then he also came back, and by Thursday, he's saying, that's the best Thursday I've ever seen him have in practice, which is straight out of the Mark Trestman handbook there, that quote. look, I...
that's bad. That's bad.
But that's what Trestman used to say. It was like, it's the greatest Wednesday we've ever had. Look, Mitch is fine. Bobby Massey, the right tackle, who also left that game, he's fine. So, I wish I could explain this better. I don't know. Mitch is fine. He's going to play on Sunday, and he has a great opportunity against a bad Giants team to have a good game.
You know, I thought it was an interesting question from a reporter today, listening back to Nagy. You know, Nagy's continued to say it's 1-0. It's week to week. It's week to week. I mean, that's coach speak. You hear that a lot.
Yeah.
But someone asked him today, is it still 1-0, or has things kind of changed here? Where these next six games, it's more of a talent evaluation. Let's see what you got for next year, isn't it?
I think that, you know, if you're the head coach of an NFL team, you still have to cling on every small, tiny chance that you could possibly make the playoffs. But let's be honest, it doesn't really make a difference. You still have to win on Sunday. You have to beat this Giants team, whether you're talking playoffs or you're just trying to get better for next season. But you see small things, like they're already looking forward to next year. Like this week, very minor move, but they call up Jesper Horsted, who's a rookie tight end out of Princeton, to come in and maybe help this tight end situation, which has been god-awful all season. Adam Shaheen, okay, so apparently he has a foot injury. Guy's not practicing all of a sudden. He kind of came out of nowhere. They're clearly done with Adam Shaheen. They're bringing in a young kid, a rookie. These are the types of moves you're going to start to see as they get younger guys out there. And look, if they were really in a playoff chase right now, they would have brought in kicker help this week. They didn't do that. They're letting Eddie Pinheiro figure this thing out here over these last 6 weeks. And I think that's the right move when you start looking forward to 2020.
I mean, are jobs on the line over the next 6 weeks here?
I think assistant coaching jobs are definitely. I don't know how Matt Nagy could look at his staff right now and not question some of the things that are happening. When you look at these wide receivers, for instance, I counted four total drops in that game, two wrong routes, one of which led to a direct interception, and one of those drops was basically a turnover because it was on fourth down, and it led to the ball going over to the Rams on down. So that's an awful game for the wide receivers. The offensive line has been terrible all year. The tight ends, you've gotten zero production out of it. So, and even Mitch Trubisky's development. I mean, Dave Ragone, I think, is a pretty good quarterback's coach, but if anybody on that offensive staff right now, I think his job's on the line, except for the head coach, because quite frankly, he's got 3 years on his contract and he's not going anywhere. Mm.
So Nagy and Mitch will be back next week, next year, but yep. You expect them to clean house outside of that?
No, I'm not saying clean house. I don't know how Matt Nagy could. Look, I've been covering the NFL long enough. Someone's going to be a scapegoat, right? That's how it works. Yeah. So there's turnover every year on every staff, here or there, one or two spots. But there's going to be change in the offseason. There has to be. And I wonder, few people even realize Brad Childress is on this coaching staff, the former Vikings coach. Mm-hmm. He's actually from the Chicago area. And I would not be shocked if he's the offensive coordinator next year instead of Mark Helfrich.
Can I ask you a question? How does Ryan Pace get away with hiding and not talking to you guys throughout the season? I'm not kidding. I mean, every single sports team in this town, we hear from Rick Hahn, we hear from Stan Bowman, John McDonough, we hear from all of them throughout the season, and Ryan Pace doesn't talk during the regular season.
Yeah, and just some background here. I mean, there are rules in place from the Pro Football Writers Association, which I am a member of, that certain people need to talk during the season. there are no rules about the general manager talking.
Yeah, but
just so people are aware, we have been fighting this all year. I mean, this goes back to the offseason. I've talked to him and said, hey, we'd love to hear from you a little bit, at least at the bye week during the middle of the season. And you know what? He believes, the reasoning is, and this is the truth, Ryan Pace believes that there should be one voice for the team
during the
season, mm-hmm. and it's Matt Nagy.
Right. Ryan Pace believes he'll be asked a lot of tough questions and won't have good answers for them.
Explain yourself. And he's like, I don't know how to. Yeah.
Sit down, young man. We've got questions.
All right. Well, you know who we have on, and I have a wager for you right now. Ooh. Do you believe that over these next six games for the Chicago Bears, right? Is that what's left?
Correct.
Yeah, six games. Yep. Six games left for the Chicago Bears, or... the first six games of May, because it's a little cold in April, for the Chicago White Sox. Who will score more points/runs in a six-game period? The White Sox or the Bears?
Oh. Sox lineup's starting to look really good.
I'm going to go with the White Sox on that. That's something. And Yasmani Grandal is going to join us. Adam, stick around for that, would you?
Okay. Yeah,
all right,
I will.
Stick around. Here's Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roads in the skies?
Here's the 1-0 on Grandal. And Grandal gives it a ride to deep center field. Fowler going back, and he's going to watch it sail out. Yasmani Grandal with his first major league hit, and it's a home run. First big league start, first big league hit, first big league bomb.
Yeah, that's the call. Yasmani Grandal is joining us right now. He is the biggest sports story in baseball in Chicago in a long time. Maybe the biggest sports story this week, right, in baseball. Would you make that assessment?
Yeah, no doubt.
And Yasmani, thank you so much for being with us. We got a lot of voices going to be coming at you here. Don't worry.
We're just really excited.
I cannot believe I have all White Sox fans around me that this is the happiest day of the year so far. So congratulations on the deal.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to thank you guys today.
So are you when this happened, when you were, I don't know how much you can discuss this now, but it's all over and you're a White Sox now and it's all good. You had been offered, right? There was a counter from Milwaukee. And you chose to come to Chicago. What was the determinant for you?
Chicago, made the effort to get to where we needed to be, whether it was equity or years. There's no rumor that, I loved playing in Milwaukee. It was a great city, great fan base. Loved my teammates. But at the same time, we felt that this is the final time for me to actually get what we wanted, and Chicago pretty much got there. It seemed like they were on the phone with us at some point for a matter of a week there, trying to get everything figured out. They just seemed to be great.
And let's face it, Chicago's a better town than Milwaukee. I'm sorry. I mean, I know we're just 90 minutes apart, but you'll have more fun here. This will be, and this, there is nothing, you're going to find White Sox fans to be the most loyal and passionate, I think, in some of all of sports, because those White Sox fans who have been in the stands, especially for the last couple of years, and they've been watching this team develop, they're right. They know that at any moment here, their beloved White Sox are going to really make this turn here, and you're a key piece of that. Are there? It was part of the decision for you, this young core of players.
Yeah, obviously that was the deal breaker. You know, once I started looking into the team and actually realizing what this team had, it made it very exciting for me. I felt like I can help the team a lot. Obviously, you really good young core with super talented players, and like you said, they have the chance to turn the corner here and make a run at it.
Yasmani, Kevin Powell here. Congratulations, by the way. Welcome to Chicago. You meet with Rick Hahn of the White Sox last week on Tuesday. Rick Hahn said by Thursday you had requested a video of every single pitcher the White Sox have, and you wanted to get a closer look at it and get to know the pitchers. What did you see? How excited are you to catch the Kopex, the Ceases, Giolito's coming off an All-Star year?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm part owner of a catching company, and I think I might have picked one of the guys and said I think we might need a real quick on Nick. I love the core. I love the pitching staff. Like I said, the young guys, but a lot of talent. It seems like they're going to have bright futures. A lot of power on.
Yasmani, you're joining an organization that has a long, long history of Cuban baseball players, and you're about to play alongside at least two of them at the start of the year with Jose Abreu and Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert. Who knows? He could be on the opening day roster.
He'll be there!
He'll be there. We're all guessing Luis Robert will be there. Super talented. What does it mean to join this organization that does have that rich Cuban history and then to get to play alongside these guys?
I'm just honored to be a part of it, especially... Like you said, I remember watching Jose Contreras, and I remember watching Aduke pitch for the White Sox, especially when they won it. Just honored to be a part of that. Those two guys that I mentioned before are a huge part of baseball heritage here in the United States for Cuban players, and hopefully I can do just as good as they did.
So based on what you know about the guys on the team so far, what are you most excited about when it comes to being a part of this push forward to really make the White Sox a contending team?
I don't know. I think I've been thinking about a lot of things in the past few days. I'm just trying to get a feel for the guys. Obviously, I already started texting and calling guys. At the end of the day, it takes the whole team to win. So if I can be the glue that brings everything together, that'll be the one thing that I guess I can hope for.
Hey, Yasmani, Adam Hogue here. I was kind of surprised to see this deal happen so quickly. The way baseball has been going the last couple of years, we've seen more and more free agents not even signing until like the middle of spring training. So just as a baseball fan, I think that's a good thing. And obviously as a White Sox fan, obviously happy that you're coming to Chicago. But why was that so important to you to not have this thing linger all winter?
Yeah, it was very important to me. I mean, if it was me by myself, I can wait as long as I can. But I have a wife and two kids I got to think about. Especially if we're going to be moving to another state. Getting this deal done now is probably one of the most important things for me. So we can start preparing.
Yasmani, the White Sox now have two All-Star catchers, yourself and James McCann, who had a great season last year. Was there any conversation about how the workload would be split between you two guys moving forward, or anything involving McCann and yourself?
Not yet. But I feel like we, the way I look at the catching group, it's all going to depend who Ricky thinks is going to be the best fit that day. At the end of the day, I'm not really playing to put up numbers. I'm just playing to win that day and win in the long run. So if at the end of the day, we come out of it winning a championship, that's all really matters. I'll do whatever it takes to help the team win, and I'm sure my candidate too.
All right, Yasmani Grandal. I've got some real estate listings here. We could probably work this out for you. We got some ideas. Stay in the city. That would be my suggestion. Where do you guys live in the off season?
Myself, I live in Arizona.
In Arizona. All right, so this will be like a summertime home for you. All right, I've got a couple things. There's some nice outdoor spaces.
Road knows people, Yasmani, yeah. If you need the hookup.
Hey, and if you need anything in this town, you know, that's in case you get a speeding ticket or something, call me. I got something for everybody. All right, Yasmani Grandal, thank you so much. Appreciate it, sir. Great luck.
All right, thank you. Thank you, guys.
There he is. There's our new White Sox hero right there.
Already seeing T-shirts with his picture saying, "Yes, we can." Yes, so we can. People very excited.
It's going to be fun. And you think there's one more big one. I mean, the Abreu thing is huge.
I don't think they're done at all. I think you'll see a starting pitcher added, if not two starting pitchers. We'll see what they do to add help to the bullpen.
Adam, I got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
I'd love to see Nick Castellanos in right field, too. I still think there's a hole out there in the outfield, and he would be a great fit.
Completely agree.
All right. Wow. Luis Robert will be up on opening day. I'm going to promise you that, right? If I have to personally drive him from Arizona to here.
You're right.
That would be a good buddy film, I think. Me and Luis Robert.
Roe and Robert.
Right. On the road together. A communication gap, and we're trying to explain things to each other. Like a ton of fun. All right. Thank you all. Appreciate it. We got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in, too. And now it's time for Man of Steel.
The echo effect.
I know. Something weird is happening in that echo chamber. All right. Michael Steele joins us right now. He used to run the Republican Party in this country, and now he doesn't. First of all, the breaking news of this afternoon might be rather startling in Washington. John Bolton, not Michael Bolton, John Bolton.
Right.
And he just tweeted that he's back on Twitter. He's alleging that the White House is trying to silence him on Twitter and is because they're afraid of what I might say. Dun, dun, dun. He's got a book coming out, right? What's going on there?
He does have a book coming out, yes. Well, look, John Bolton would be an enormously important figure to have testifying or presenting to the impeachment inquiry at this point. Substantively, you really don't need him. Because, as we saw with others, they've sort of filled in a lot of those blank spaces.
Well, but wait, let me stop you right there. Hold on. Because, you did have Fiona Hill was incredibly convincing, but no one had ever heard of her before. I think the American public knows who John Bolton is. And Republicans, and the other piece is Republicans who are being the inquisitors. I think they'll go a little easier on John Bolton than they would on somebody nobody knows.
No, if John Bolton, I guarantee if John Bolton decided to testify against Donald Trump, and this will be the ultimate proof of the Trumpification of the Republican Party. They will do everything. They will do to him what they've done to every other witness that's come before him. He wants to do it. But the problem is he wants to be compelled to do it because it creates a safer space. In other words, he's like, well, I got a subpoena. I got to be in court. You know, I got to go to the Hill, which is what the Democrats won't give him right now. That may change. I understand that there's some quiet conversations to figure out exactly under what circumstances his appearance could either be compelled or made possible. There's a reason why he's tweeting what he's tweeting right now, that they are positioning and beginning to make a move. So you could get to a Senate trial if impeachment ultimately happens, and Bolton could be a part of that. And that would throw everything, a monkey wrench into everything.
Oh, yeah, that would be quite a thing. That's the dramatic witness. That's like in every movie. You're
right.
Your Honor, we have one witness left. I object, Your Honor. You can't object. Here he is. He comes walking down the aisle, and the whole thing happens.
The dramatic. The door opens. Bolton comes in.
Oh, man. The whole mustache. Can I ask you whether you think a single Republican, though, regardless of what happens in the trial, a single Republican senator is going to vote?
No, I just don't see it.
No.
I mean, possibly. Romney, maybe. Elisa Murkowski. But look, the president's already called Romney down to have lunch at the White House. Why does he do that, right?
You've eaten at the White House. I want to know, how good is the lunch at the White House?
It's not eating the meal, it's who you're having the meal with. The House is going to impeach. The Senate is not going to touch it. I'm still not convinced that they even have a trial at this point. And if they do, it will be, the vote's already done.
You're no longer in the Republican Party. I've got the memo here. I just want to hand it to you in case you haven't seen it yet. even though he used to run it, but whatever. I know, I get it, Michael Steele.
Still a card-carrying Republican.
Yeah, but you're not allowed.
Allowed at the meetings anymore, right?
You know, one of the things that alarms me this week is the story of the military pardons, essentially, that the president has done.
Yeah.
And now where he is telling the Navy that they cannot strip the Navy SEAL Trident from a retiring Navy SEAL who was convicted of taking a picture with a corpse, right, as a trophy.
Yeah. Which is a violation of the conduct code, of military uniform conduct code. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When you ask warriors to do immoral things, they know it. And the ones who do it gladly are disrespected by the ones who are standing next to them. And those armies never have won. Ever.
Nope. And I think you make a very important point, and it's exemplified and magnified by what we've seen happening to all of the ancillary agencies and institutions that support the military, the CIA, the NSA, the NSC. If you start deconstructing those institutions in the first instance, the next natural step is what we see here. And some will say, well, so what? He lets the guy keep the trident. Well, so what? He overturned the conviction of the war crime conviction, not just any conviction, the war crime conviction of these soldiers. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is everything you just said. It goes to everything you just said, and that's why it matters. So you get to a place where you dumb down the conversation to the point where everything is not a big deal. Not only does our military lose, not only do our institutions that support this democracy, this republic that we have lose, but we the people ultimately wind up losing, and we're no better than the very same Soviet that Ronald Reagan defeated in the 1980s. We're no better than that.
Michael Steele, thank you so much. Appreciate your time as always. Lauren Lapko, what's happening on the roads?
This week on Chicago's Best, a food mecca just outside of O'Hare, from classic Italian to old school steak at Chicago's Best of Rosemont, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. They're doing nice over there.
Oh, yeah. That's real nice. Reminding you that on the 6th of December, which is 2 weeks from today, the Rokon Show takes to the road. We go to Tinley Park, the Tinley Park Convention Center. It's our annual event for Toys for Tots. All we're asking you to do, we're not asking you to sign up for anything. We're just asking you to show up for something with a toy for Toys for Tots. There'll be bars. There will be food. There will be music from the Ides of March. There'll be a full concert. We've got a radio show from 3 to 5:30, and then after that, it's a concert, and it's a bacchanalia, and God knows what's going to happen, and everybody relax. That's the way I want to look at it. Easy up there. Easy. It's just a ton of fun. We have door prizes, including a Chicago winter getaway package, like a staycation deal.
I've done that before.
Thanks to our friends at the Hilton's Chicago. That you could do the big Hilton, the Chicago Hilton, downtown on Michigan Avenue. The Drake Hotel is also a part of
this. I did the Palmer House, which
was a ton of fun. Can I just say something about the Palmer House? When you go into the Palmer House and you go into the main lobby,
incredible.
Aren't you blown away?
Yeah.
Because it takes you back.
Flashback for sure.
100 and something years.
Right.
You don't see a lot of that around here anymore.
No. In a beautiful way. This, the Gilded Era. I mean, it's beautifully lit, and the tufted furniture and the whole thing. It's just, you cannot, it's It is,
and where it's located, you can get everywhere in a matter of a few minutes.
Right.
You can get all around downtown if you're staying there.
You got to go see a play? You want to go see something?
Yeah, perfect place.
Yeah, it is a perfect weekend. Anyway, I don't want to tell you how to use your prize. I'm just telling you what the prize is. We got signed memorabilia from the White Sox. Hopefully, our new best friend, Yasmani Grandal. If I could understand a word of what he was saying to us.
A little muffled.
Because of we had a little phone problem.
We can buy a new one with the $73 million he's he's getting from.
Maybe a new iPhone.
That's true. When did he come here from Cuba?
When he was younger.
Yeah.
He got moved.
10. When he was 10?
Yeah, moved to Florida.
Yeah. So he's, I can't wait for him to, I can't wait to see. I'm so excited about baseball season right now. It can't get here fast enough, and I mean that literally and figuratively. We got Casey and the Sunshine Band tickets, too, for the Four Winds. We got Museum of Science and Industry and Shedd Aquarium passes for you. It's all presented by American Sale. Bring the fun home for the holidays. Sponsored by Apple Chevrolet, Architect of Chicagoland, Hiltons of Chicago, Dibs.com. That's one website right there, Hiltons of Chicago, Dibs.com. And Sweet Alley's Gluten Free Bakery. They'll be giving away samples and stuff as well there. And it's going to be just a ton of fun. So, again, December 6th, come on out. Bring a toy. It's a new toy, not gift-wrapped. And it's original packaging to the Tinley Park Convention Center. And come enjoy the fun. And the Marines are going to be there. I was out with them yesterday, as a matter of fact. We were shooting a little promotional video, as they call it, or whatever the hell they call it. Something. They said, we want to go viral. And then the Marines looked at me and go, that's not good for us. We don't like the idea of viral. Especially the guy who just got back from Okinawa. Now, here is an opportunity for you to do something that you know you're really going to enjoy. And that then you're going to help a kid who would otherwise not get a Christmas present. Right?
That's right.
Right.
I got to do some Christmas shopping.
You were at the one last year, Kev, and you know how insane this thing gets.
It was awesome.
Judy Pylak is still there. That's how insane it was. She never. That's why she didn't come back after the show. We never heard from her again because she's still partying.
Yeah, our Tom Skilling was there at last year, and I am not kidding when I say this. There were women who were waiting near the stage just to meet Tom, and they were tearing up getting ready to meet Tom Skilling.
Just
I'm not joking.
Like, oh, my God.
I'm not exaggerating. I mean, they had pictures for him to sign. They had posters for Skilling. Full-fledged rock star.
Ed Obradovich is going to be out there with us this
year.
Awesome. Demetrius Ivory is going to be out there with us. As a matter of fact, the Channel 9 is doing a live shot. What I'm trying to get them to do is to do a shot of the toys being transported that are being collected early at Apple Chevrolet in Tinley Park. Because they're going to set up all those Silverados and drive them all to the Tinley Park Convention Center for this couple of miles, whatever it is. I want the Channel 9 helicopter to cover that.
It's going
to
look like a fancy car commercial.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would be pretty cool.
And be sure to go to OB and ask him about Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, gosh. Look, a happy day, Kev. A happy day.
Or Cody White here. All right. Let's talk about, speaking of Christmas. Now, there may be some toys you want to avoid picking up. Because there is a list of toys that are less than safe. Which basically describes every toy I grew up with.
Well, yeah, they're so crazy and intricate these days. Toys are just amazing, but you got to imagine that some probably are a bit dangerous.
Your generation was like, oh, here's some spears and a hula hoop. Throw it over the driveway and try to get it in there.
Here's some jacks, these really pointy objects. Yeah. Don't put them in your mouth.
No, don't swallow them. Or the ball, either. That's a choking hazard. They wouldn't even tell us that. They go, ever play mouth jacks? Watch this.
I'm telling you, your generation was like, all right, let's weed out the weak ones.
I'm telling you,
half of these toys is going to wipe out half the population of 7 years and younger.
Okay, I just want to ask you a question. The guy who thought, you know what we need to do? The guy who thought, I really love darts, but darts is an indoor game. I want to take darts outside. But that's not fun, because what are you going to throw them at? Oh, I know. We'll make a supersized dart. Maybe about 7-8 pounds with a really pointy end and a little, feather back. And what you do is you put a circle out on the lawn, maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 yards ahead of you. And then you throw the jart up in the air, and then it will then land somewhere, like on your little brother Scott.
Who's the toy exec who was like, love the idea, million-dollar idea, push it through quickly, Christmas coming up, get the darts out there.
Aren't those illegal now? Lawn darts?
I don't think you're finding lawn darts anywhere.
No. I know they're illegal, but I think that they stopped making them because all the way I've seen people with them. But that did result in some litigiousness.
Timmy got lawn darts for Christmas, and Sally got a dog, a puppy.
And that dog had a good run.
Did not stick around because of the lawn darts.
Poor accuracy from little Timmy took out the puppy.
Oh, man. Or the puppy then, like, probably lined up under the thing as it was coming. Oh, look, oh, a treat! Oh!
It's like playing that suicide game with the bow and arrow, and you shoot the arrow up into the air and see who can stay there the longest.
Well, BB guns. I mean, we had BB rifles, right? With, like, air-compressed BB rifles. And you know, their parents were like, yeah, that's fine. Put on a hunting cap. Go out there. You guys really love it. I shot my friend...
Oh boy!
In a bet, so he had one of those little gray safes with the little red knob on them. Remember we'd have those, and it's like, oh look,
yeah. What was with safes? Everybody had a safe as a kid. I'm like, what am I going to put in there?
It was.
And what kind of money do you have?
Well, your parents they had to be from that generation of
hide it around the house.
That had touched the depression. So I was at his house. And his dad was a gun nut, and his dad had all kinds of weaponry in the house. So he had a real badass air-compressed BB gun. We couldn't get the thing open. Couldn't get the little thing open. So we kept hitting it with the BB gun, and would knock it over, because this BB gun was so big. So he said, you know what I'll do? I'll just sit on it. You go over there, and fire the gun right at the little red knob. Because you'll knock it off, and we'll be able to get
it. Just like in all your favorite TV shows and movies. Right. Just shoot the lock, and it opens.
I just want to point... I mean, we were like 5 or 6. I just want to point out, he sat on that. And I went over to the bunk bed, and I fired the fatal shot.
Oh,
and
gosh.
It bounced off the little...
You didn't get the safe, but you got the family jewels. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly what happened. Exactly what happened.
Was the BB taken away and put on top of the fridge so you guys couldn't get it? Or put it tucked away in his
parents
closet.
Parents were called. I thought they were going to call 911. There wasn't even 911 back then.
Well, it's funny because now these days there would be a lawsuit, you know, involved.
Oh, yeah.
That's just how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Eric, you're on WGN. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I've been a faithful listener since day one. I used to be a fire department paramedic, and one of the first calls I went on was a guy that was playing with a jart. Threw it up in the air, lost it in the sun, and it was impaled in the back of his head.
Oh, God!
Ow!
Yeah, no exaggeration. He was laying face down in the gurney when we got him to the emergency room. They took an x-ray, and I remember the doctor showed me the x-ray, because I was fairly new at the time, you know, right. And he's like, here, this is what a jart looks like when it's buried in a person's skull.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
He lived.
He was talking. He just had a jart, and it was literally impaled down to the entire needle of the jart was flush with his head.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it, man.
Okay.
There's like the guy, ever see the x-ray of the guy with a railway tie, like in his skull, and he had to live like that for the rest of his life because it happened in the 1800s, and you took it out, it'd be all over. That guy's still around with a jart in the back of his head. We've got the news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes.
Lapka's Liz coming up, big moment. Lawrence hard at work today, gathering all the events around Chicago and in Chicago.
All things Christmas, pretty much.
Thank you, Kevin. Listen, I want to say that we never got to the actual toys that are the problem.
Okay, good.
In the list of toys story. We'll do that a little bit later on. Maybe we'll do that while we roll out the Canarba wagon.
That sounds fun.
But in the meantime, Lauren's list, and as you know, I'm always on it.
Yeah, I don't think you're on this one, though. There's just something that doesn't really speak Christmas about you, Ro. No offense.
All right. So now this is weird because this is the weekend before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, I would be sort of conflicted and think, well, maybe there isn't that much going on. But there's a ton of stuff going on, including the two of the big McGillas.
Yeah, the biggest event is definitely the Magnificent Mile Lights Festival. So that even kicks off today with events starting already at 4 o'clock. You kind of have that open area in Pioneer Court, they call it, at Lights Festival Lane. There's a bunch of family activities. Even Santa Claus is going to appear there. It's just kind of a good way to kick things off before all the chaos starts tomorrow.
Does Santa direct all the kids to bring their parents to the Apple store right next door? Apple hires the Santa Claus?
Why is Santa so thin and wearing a mock turtleneck and he's got skinny jeans on and he's wearing a headset? He's got an iPad.
He's got an iPad. His list is on an iPad this year.
What is that all about? Hello, kids.
For the latest in technology.
And he's walking back and forth on a big stage and there's stuff behind him. Tom, I think Santa's changed. All right, go ahead.
Anyways, so the big events start tomorrow in terms of there's a bunch of concerts. You're going to have Echo Smith, Parachute, Skylar Stecker, and Ryan Cabrera. There's concerts throughout the day starting at 11:30 till about 2:30, probably ends around 3:30.
I don't want to alarm anybody, but I was downtown, like on Chicago Avenue today,
mm-hmm.
For my hourly doctor's appointment.
Hourly?
And there was they have all of the command vehicles out,
mm-hmm.
lined up. It's like, it looks like when you go to a stadium and all the TV trucks are lined up and you get to see them with the logos on them. That's what it looks like on Chicago Avenue right now.
Oh, yeah. It's going to get crazy because already you have all the concerts, all the stuff going on in terms of the family activities. But things will start getting ready for the parade as early as 3:30. They will shut down Michigan Avenue at 4 because the parade marches down Michigan Avenue. So that really kicks off at 5:30. That's the big event. You have Mickey and Minnie leading the way.
Yeah.
All the lights will be going on down Michigan Avenue as it rolls.
It is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You know, first of all, do you realize it is the second most viewed Christmas television special, holiday season television special, actually, because if you want to look at it that way, other than the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
I believe it, because alone with it being dark and you do follow the lights, that is just visually so amazing.
It is beautifully done. And I got to say, the folks at ABC7 and Disney, they work together on that to do it. And they use the ABC7 talent, and I use that term very loosely when I refer to myself. But with those people, they really are. And there is a stunning, and it's done in an hour, right? I mean, that's the TV special is done in an hour. And the parade isn't that much longer. I mean, it is really... It goes fast, and it's great. And it's like, when you get that shot... Because unlike the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is like a 2.5 mile long route, this is a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it. They take that shot from the building at Crosswacker looking north, and you see the entire route as it's coming towards you. And it's beautiful.
And then it ends with a fireworks show. So it just, again, you have all the lights, a quick parade, and then to have that visual spectacle added to it.
Right on the river.
So cool. Yeah, I mean, over the Chicago River at North Michigan Avenue.
I'm waiting for something bad to happen in that fireworks thing at some point.
Oh, don't say that.
You know me, though.
But other than that, you can even do the meet and greets with the different artists that will be performing. And again, this is free to go to, so that's, you know, you get to enjoy this huge event. No cost to you, unless, you know, you want to pay to be a part of some of the family activities.
Right, or park, or whatever it is, but get down. But it's a lot of people come down for it. It's great.
Oh, yeah. And then, so, as you mentioned, it will be televised, and it will actually re-air on Sunday as well. So if you, for some reason, are busy and you can't get to it.
And it airs throughout the next couple of weeks all over the country. That's the thing. That's why it's the most viewed, because it's a nationally syndicated television show.
Right. But other than that, a bunch of other Christmassy things already going on. The Christmas tree lighting ceremony is tonight at Millennium Park at 6 p.m. That's also free to go to. So you get to finally see that tree.
Is Lori Lightfoot doing
about
that? Because the mayor used to do it. Rahm used to do it. And it was always, he'd like show up. Am I done? He'd like flip a light
flip a switch and get out.
All right, I'm done.
We got a lot of trees in this town. You got one at the Wrigley, Pioneer Court, Millennium Park.
Well, this is the one that we've been hearing about, the donated blue spruce from Elgin, the 55-foot tree, from Gene Nelson and his family generously donated that tree.
Thanks, Gene.
So, you know, those are all always really fun to watch, just kind of really set the tone for Christmas, because that tree will stay lit now.
Just like me. All the way through New Year's. Stay lit.
Yeah, I think I'm
all
there
the
with
way
you.
Through. Yeah, that's basically how it's been. All right, let's check. Before we continue on with Lauren's list, let's check in with Lauren Lapka. What's happening on the roads and in the skies? I like that. All right, back with Lauren Lapka's Lauren's list of things to do this weekend. And plenty, as we just mentioned, the big Megillah here is downtown. The
Magnificent Mile Lights Festival.
Right, and you got Mickey and Minnie are going to be there. They're in town right now. You wonder what hotel they're staying at.
I think they're getting a romantic dinner somewhere, a nice old steakhouse somewhere.
I don't know. What do mice eat? Cheese? What's a good cheese place around here?
I'm thinking more like they're going to Gibson's, I swear.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'll meet you at Gibson's for dinner. I'm going to Gibson's Italia first for a couple of drinks. Don't call me. I'm keeping my phone off. I'll see you at 8:30 on Rush Street. How you doing, Toots?
I mean, can you imagine Mickey like at the bar, at, like, you know, one of the, you know,
sipping a martini?
Exactly.
So what do you do?
I mean, he could probably pull a lot of talents. I mean, imagine like the hearts he's won over the years.
I know. Oh, I grew up loving you.
You want to love me now?
Mickey with a slow sip of the martini makes eye contact.
You guys are the worst.
Once you go rodent, you never go back.
Oh, my God.
Driving on the triangle with all that Disney money. He's probably got one of those souped-up Lambos.
Yeah, right.
It's like Mickey Mouse edition of the Lamborghini.
Hey, we'll be back to pick you up in an hour.
All right.
Are we done ruining
my
childhood?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So, other Christmas events, Randolph Street's Holiday Market kicks off tomorrow, and it will be Saturday, Sunday, 10 to 5. You do have to buy a ticket to get into this, but it's a variety of goods from 125 dealers and makers of all things Christmassy.
Christmas zocking,
you know, yeah,
sort of stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, if you want to get some holiday shopping out of the way, that's a good option. And the Polar Express starts tomorrow at the Chicago Union Station. So schedule varies based on days, but tickets range from $38 to $70, and you can ride through the 29th. That's always a really fun thing to do with the kids. You know, it's an hour train ride.
Where does it go?
Just throughout downtown.
So just like a lap?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Just a nice lap. Nice. You know, you can have some drinks inside the train while you're just kind of...
Oh, really? I thought
out.
This
yeah.
was all just for the kids.
Well, yeah, it's... Well, drinks doesn't necessarily mean drinks.
It means, you know, well, we have to pour the bottle
like
into
juice
it.
Box.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. or hot chocolate, which is neither, generally. What is, this is a CTA Polar Express, or is this?
No, Chicago Union Station.
So it's a Metra thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how do you?
Okay. So it goes around, it goes out somewhere and then comes back. So the inside of the cars are decked
out
in some...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's, you know, it's just
doesn't
like
go
a
go anywhere.
Thing.
Doesn't it, you don't end up in Naperville in the swinging capital of America with the kids.
Wait a second. They're swinging in Naperville?
All right, kids, we're here.
So also, Lightscape, that's actually at Chicago Botanic Garden, so where Demetrius was at earlier. It's one of those huge lights setup things that you can walk through. It's about a mile long. And you can... view this through January 5th. Tickets range from $8 to $23, depending on the time frame that you go, because it opens at 4:30, goes till 10 o'clock, but certain hours are definitely more crowded than others. But it's really incredible. If you go to the website and take a look at some of these setups, it's just incredible. A lot of lights. There's also Chris Kindle Market. The Wrigleyville location is officially open today as well.
That's in Gallagher Way or whatever they call that, the park next to Wrigley Field.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So this one's open through December 31st because the other one closes earlier. Just to keep that in mind. And the hours are different. Monday through Thursday, it's open 3 to 9. And then the weekend hours are fairly similar to the other one. But also, if you don't want to do necessarily the Christmassy thing, the Chicago Toy and Game Fair is this weekend, which may sound like it's just for kids, but it's not. They actually even have a beer garden with popular adult and party games.
Yeah, see, that's important. But like, now what kind of adult party games are there?
Oh,
Flippy Cup?
Plenty.
Bags.
Drop your car keys in the bowl.
Have you ever played Cards Against Humanity? There are some things in there that are very, very inappropriate.
Oh, very interesting.
Cards Against Humanity gets very dirty.
Yes. There are some things I didn't even know what they were, and when I Googled them, I really regretted it.
Yeah. What happens in Cards Against Humanity?
Explain the rules again. All I know is just a lot of dirtiness, and it's funny.
Okay, so it's a card game, and you will have...
Like a regular deck of cards or special?
No, special cards. Yeah. So there's one set that is kind of the card that you flip over to start a round, and it will be things along the line of... the one thing I regretted most in my life is blank, and you have a handful of cards that have potential answers.
Outrageous things.
Right.
Like stuff you wouldn't expect to see, like, in
it's
a
like
gaming...
One's like a squirt gun full of cat pee or something.
Yeah,
okay.
just it's
really
just very,
out there
like,
answers.
Graphic stuff, yeah. But people...
And then you have to acknowledge you did it or you didn't do it.
So all the cards, people will pick a card to go in, and then someone has to be the judge of which card wins to make whether... It's the funniest answer or the most accurate. You have to play to whoever the judge is.
Got it.
And then whoever gets the most cards at the end.
We should play this as a show.
It's really fun, yeah. It's funny.
Next show outing, we'll play this.
You know, maybe we should do that for the podcast.
You
know what I mean?
It'd be great.
It's kind of like a take on Mad Libs, but a card game.
Got it. All right.
But anyway, so it's a big convention. You can check out new toys. You can.
And where is this again?
This is over at Navy Pier.
All right.
So 10 to 6 tomorrow, 10 to 5 on Sunday. Tickets are pretty cheap. It's about $16 for adults, $9 for kids. But you could do all kinds of stuff. And, you know, there are characters roaming around for the kids to play with and just a bunch of stuff to do there.
Right.
There's also Autumn Festival in Villa Park. So that's kind
it's
of
too late for that, isn't it?
No, it's
Autumn Festival.
Autumn, fall.
Yeah, no, it's not. We are in full Christmas season right now.
Autumn's fighting back with the war on Christmas. They've this festival has acknowledged the war on Thanksgiving.
Have you noticed one thing here? There's not a single Thanksgiving-ish themed anything.
Well, this one sort of
autumn,
is, right?
Yeah, that's kind of
this is the only one.
Even though it's kind of just an arts and crafts thing with a bunch of booths, but that already started today, goes till 9 tomorrow.
Thanksgiving is the only nice story about the Europeans and the natives here. It's the only one, right? Everything after Thanksgiving, pretty well, you know, that Friday, it really was Black Friday, right? There was all kinds of bad things that happened after that. But that first Thursday, man.
Like, all right, that meal was good. Let's get to work.
Exactly. Look, we can all get along. Let's build a hut. Oh, let's have a turkey. Oh, let's do a thing. Got it. You guys know paper mache? And then the next thing you know,
they're like, wow, this guy seemed really nice. That was a great dinner we had.
Did you hear what he said about you at the table? And then the next thing you know, it's, you know, trail of tears. So I just want to say that we need to go back and remember the good part as opposed to just going straight up to the commerce part. That's all. All right. Go ahead. I'll sit here quietly now.
Okay, well, this is just up your alley. Mother Truckin' Booze Fest in Hoffman Estates. That's tomorrow. Tickets are $20 to $100, depending on if you want VIP or not. A ticket will get you 25 tasting tickets. You can check out the food trucks. There's going to be live entertainment, and that's over at the Sears Center Arena in Hoffman Estates. So there you go.
Mother Truckin' Booze Fest.
Mm-hmm. They changed it from
shouldn't
the beer
fest.
Shouldn't
there just be a big Uber lot out there?
Probably. That would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It used to be the beer fest, but they've added more than just beer, so everyone can go. Very nice of them.
Mm-hmm.
And for those random few, maybe like 0.01% of people that miss Halloween, Days of the Dead, the horror convention is over at Crown Plaza at O'Hare and Rosemont this weekend.
This is right up your alley. Mm-hmm. Lauren always adds one event that like you could tell she's eyeing. She always kind of buries it, though. And it's always like...
Well, because I know no one else is like, why do I care? But, you know, along with kind of meeting celebrities and getting signatures.
What sort of celebrities are going to be there?
What
is your definition of a celebrity?
What's his name from Jaws is going to be there? Richard Dreyfuss.
That's right, Hooper. Those are not working hands. Those are soft hands. Soft hands for counting money. Daddy's money.
So you can go and just talk to him like that all day.
Any experience in Rosemont for Quinn? Anything happen to him out there? He always seems to be involved in some sort of historical event.
You ever get off the spur? It's a spur that keeps going around. If you don't get off at Mannheim, you'll get lost forever. Then you get off at River Road, you get the wrong way, and it's nothing but parking lots and parking lots and parking lots. Herbie Blitzen and I got off and we went the wrong way and he was cutting.
Oh my God.
In half.
All right. Are you ready now to, is there one last kicker one or are we done?
Sure. We could do plenty of sporting events. So Bulls versus Heat tonight. WWE SmackDown is actually at Allstate Arena tonight too. Northwestern plays Minnesota tomorrow, and Bears host the Giants on Sunday. But for
and that's
full
all they're going to be doing with them. They're being hosting them. Maybe they should have a Thanksgiving dinner on the field and see who eats fat. Maybe an eating contest because neither team can win that game. So that ought to be a lot of fun.
But yeah, all the events are posted on our website for the weekend warning video.
All right, thank you, Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, we got the news. Then the Carnarvon Wagon Rolls.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great. Makes women appear more attractive and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life. and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
It's the Rokon Show in the Carnarvon Wagon, and it used to be the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis, but Anna is leaving the show to get her own show starting at 1 o'clock, starting a week from Monday, right?
Right, so I'll be leading into this show. Maybe you'll be around for the crosstalk, Ro.
I got that thing, but I would love
sure,
it.
Sure, no, it'd be great. So they're really breaking up mommy and daddy, but I get some visitation with the kids, right? Lauren's going to hang out with me for a few hours a day. I get Kevin for like 15 minutes a day.
It's
That's
been a
all
traumatic experience for Lauren and I. Had to have some long sit-down conversations
right
about mom and dad.
Holidays.
I know, we talked about that at the game last night, and I said to the kids, I said, it's not you. Mommy and daddy, we still love each other very much, but we just have different plans. And you're moving in right next door, which is kind of fun. So you can go over and
that
see.
That helps.
And Lauren says she wants a bedroom in your house.
Okay.
And then Ro tried to introduce Kev to his new friend. And Kev says, you're never my mother. You're never going to be my mother. Never. I'm never calling you mom. And he slammed the door. Like, you're 30. You're 30.
He's not dealing with it well.
Buy me a present.
This is quite an assembly. In the studio, though, this is like when Chicago was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and all the members of the band, even if they were just on one album, showed up to give speeches, you know? You know, I was the trombonist on Chicago 3. B-side.
Does feel a little weird sitting in Anna's
it's
usual
weird.
Spot.
It's kind of weird. And
I
wanted,
sit there.
Wanted to come back for at least one Carnarvon Wagon. Because I'm going to miss the
And it is
wagon.
Perfect for Anna DeVlanta's farewell Carnarvon Wagon. Mm-hmm. We've got loads and loads of wine coming into the studio.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Perfect. It's going to be a great Friday. I can feel it already. I dropped Gabby, my little daughter, out at the zoo lights tonight. Ooh. And then
by herself,
over
just out there.
Yeah. She's almost eight now. I mean, she's able to do a lot herself.
Just go to the lion's den if you get lost.
Just ask Siri. You ask Siri.
Ask for Simba. Right.
Exactly. Just hope the gorilla doesn't get out
my goodness.
Running around.
Our top story tonight.
Yes.
Oh,
so
I'll be watching.
So we have a top 5 at 5. This is the new format of the Carnarvon. And so many things are changing around here. Mm-hmm. But they're changing for the better. Except, I do want to say that we should mention that for people who are just becoming aware of this, it's a different lineup now where you got Steve Cochran from 5 to 9. That starts, again, on that Monday, right? The 2nd of
I think so, yeah. He'll
December.
Be an hour earlier because Steve was normally 6 to 10 and now 5 to 9.
5 to 9.
Going to be when you'll hear Steve Cochran.
John Williams from 9 until noon. And then Ji Suk Yi is going to be doing the noon business lunch. And then you from 1 to 3 and then us from 3 to 7. It doesn't really change for us. No. Kids, nothing's changing. We're staying in the same house. You're still going to the same schools.
That's what Brian said, and now he has black hair.
I know. They actually said that Lauren said, actually, Kev said, I'm going to get a tattoo, and Lauren goes, I already have one. I'm like, what?
I'm living with Dad, and Lauren's like, I'm living with Mom, so...
Kids are going rogue.
Yeah. So that's the way it's going to be.
Happens.
It's going to be all right. It's all going to be all right. And then, normal programming thereafter.
Are we going to the same schools? I don't want to leave my friends.
So it's going to be, so I just want to, Bill and Wendy they're both my friends.
Mine
Bill
too.
And I worked together for a number of years, and they're no longer with the station. And I, for one, will miss them.
Mm-hmm.
So
two terrific talents and wonderful people.
Yeah. That's so true. Both personally and professionally, you love them.
It's one of the things about it around here. There's not a lot of jaggery. I mean, I'm not as close as you get to it.
Wait, you're like the Twitter poll where they have the four answers and you get 97%. Rokon and his creepy character. Rokon and
Ted Cruz is up there.
Oh yeah,
The Irishman. We're not exactly sure who he is. He's been identified as Kevin's great 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 grandfather.
Some sort of captain for sure.
Yes, he's a lost boat captain. All right, the faster we get through the top 5 at 5, the faster we get to go drinking, and that's the most important thing. But the Carnarvon Wagon is always out.
Cheers.
That's the most important thing. All right, Lauren, what's happening on the roads and in the skies?
It's the top 5 on the Rokon Show.
5.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Kids got a little lump in their throat when the guy said with Anna DeVlantis.
I know.
Yeah.
He doesn't know about the divorce yet. Should we tell him?
Uncle Duff, he's going to be really mad about this. Uncle Duff is going to drink himself silly. He's not going to know where to get. Uncle Duff's going to show up drunk at one of our Thanksgivings. Let's just put it that way.
It's going
to
be ugly.
You're going to go early or late? Which one are you doing, the early or the late Thanksgiving?
You know, I think early is good because I think things get a little more drunken later and things can get more violent and you just kind of want to step out early. I think that would be my game plan right now.
All right, here we go. Checking in at
number 5.
Warning, Ro. The following audio clip you're about to hear will cause discomfort, temporary blindness, shortness of breath, and performance issues.
Uh-oh.
That already. Got every single one of those symptoms. Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox spoke with John Williams. Does he not know? Are you seeing John Williams? Is that who this is? Is that what this is about?
No, that's not, that he all didn't right. know. This is independent of anybody else, okay?
All right. And she explained what she meant in her campaign ad by owning the mistakes made during the Jussie Smollett case.
Our limited resources were not going towards gun violence. They were going towards low-level offenses. And so our office had been committed to reprioritizing that and going after violent crime, which also meant that for certain low-level offenses that we would handle them outside of court. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, in talking about this case, this case was treated like we've treated many others, but we didn't articulate well how and why we did that, and it left people with questions and concerns, and the responsibility and the accountability is mine to make sure that people understand how and why we do our work. And that's my responsibility, and I did not handle that well, and I own that.
Oh, really? Are you friends with her? Is she like your single running buddy? Is that what goes on?
She kind of broke us up, to be honest, okay? Yeah. She's unhappy with things.
This thing was not going well.
Driving force, the divorce.
Right, and I'm too much of a hothead. Is that what her, because I don't like her?
Not fond of you.
I don't like your friends.
She was not when I spoke with her last.
Well, and here's the deal.
She's
so,
on my side.
The one thing about the Cook County State's Attorney's Office is that it has to be, it's all part of the criminal justice system in It's especially for Chicago because, you know, you got a large police force. You got a lot of state's attorneys who go out and have to approve charges that the police file against suspects turned defendants. And there should be a symbiosis between those two offices, between the Chicago Police Department and the Cook County State's Attorney.
Yeah, they call it law and order for a reason.
Right, exactly. Thank you very much for saying that. That's exactly what the issue is here. So, the problem we have here is she mentions the FOP in her commercial, the Fraternal Order of Police, in a very derogatory way. So John Williams asked her, "Well, what is that all about?"
I want to be abundantly clear. The men and women of the Chicago Police Department are some of our strongest partners in doing the work that we do. They come in every day and testify under oath and are questioned by our assistants. That's how we prove our cases. What I'm talking about is what we saw back in April of this year, where the union heads and their leadership, rather than choosing to talk about things that can keep our community safe, chose to engage in antics like a march on my office with white nationalist groups and without apology. That's not helpful to anyone.
There was a white nationalist march on her office?
I don't recall.
Why wouldn't they march on her office after what she did?
Yeah. I mean, I understand.
Discrediting the work of police officers.
I understand the FOP doing it. I don't know who were the white nationalist groups. She may be right. I don't know the answer to that. I'd like to know the answer to that.
The simple fact is, though, this case was not handled like other cases like it. And many reporters dug into this and looked at people who faked hate crimes and faked other types of crimes. And they weren't handled this way. There was no emergency hearing. It was on the docket. There was no sweeping it through so that no reporters could sit in on the court hearings. And then the record sealed with no apology needed, just sort of time served based on being at Operation Rainbow Push over the weekend. It just doesn't happen that way, and I think everybody can see that that is not how it happened. So she needs to own that piece of the story and not say that this is exactly like other cases.
Yeah, because the strange connections that they had, like the communicating on her phone.
I want a joint press conference of Jussie Smollett and Kim Fox standing at the microphone together. And Ro can have the first question.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
This is why I told you to leave him.
Number 4.
One of the brothers who admitted to carrying out the elaborate hoax to make it look like Jussie Smollett was a victim of a hate crime now is starring in a movie.
No way.
Yep.
aren't they doctors, quote, doctors?
Abel Ocendero will be making his acting debut in the upcoming low-budget film Friends, Family, and Lovers.
I'm busy that week.
I was going to say, Rich, I can't wait for your review.
Yeah.
The film was shot entirely in Chicago, perhaps on an iPhone, would be my guess.
I hope there's a Subway involved.
Tuna sandwich.
And is set to be screened at the University of Chicago. What?
Kenneth, again?
Man, this time it wasn't my fault.
Are you the only one that went to jail? So then it is your fault.
Shutdown, number one, super producer.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay. All right, hold on. It's too late to blow up that piece of trash. But
that was the plot of It Wasn't Me, the popular Jamaican hip-hop novelty song by Shaggy about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You let her catch you? Just say it wasn't you. That's exact plot. They stole this from It Wasn't Me. Kev was at Spring Break, I think, for that one. The song was big.
That was hot back then.
It was huge. Remember this one?
It turned into a party when this came out.
You let her catch you? She caught me on the counter. Was me.
That sums it up. It really does, actually. Yeah.
The Jussie theme song.
They're probably listening to it one night.
All right.
On the way to the hardware store.
So the point that I would like to make here is that Abel Ocendero got booked on a movie. Jussie's still waiting for his agent to call him back. Bubby darling, sweetheart, listen. We're very close. We're very close. As a matter of fact, can you sing? Because that's the sort of thing my agent would ask. Can you do radio? Yeah. Yes. Yes, I can do radio.
Can you do radio?
Can you sing, Bubby darling, sweetheart? Because I can get you on The Masked Singer. As long as they don't know who you are, we're in good shape.
How are your horseback riding skills? They always ask you that for every audition. Just in case.
Number three.
Elon Musk has a smashing success on his hands, and that's really the worst possible way that I mean that. The new Tesla Cybertruck, which is it's a pickup. It's an electric pickup.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's billed as shatterproof.
Finally, we've got a shatterproof truck.
Yeah, a shatterproof truck. You can throw whatever you want at it, and like the windows, they will not shatter.
Never.
Never. There will never be shattering. Well, then moments later, it shattered. This was in Hawthorne, California. He pulled back the curtain of the Cybertruck and had a staffer throw a metal ball at the driver's side window to prove its indestructibility. And
Franz, could you try to break this glass, please? Sure? Yeah. Oh my God. Well, maybe that was a little too hard.
It broke like the windows in the Nakatomi Plaza in Die Hard. They shattered so quickly.
Now imagine a car hitting it.
Yes.
Right.
A little too hard.
Or moving bullets. It claims to be bulletproof.
Right. Here, let's try a softball next time. Right.
It's maybe the worst looking vehicle in the history of transportation.
It's horrendous.
Checking in at
number two.
Wrestling announcer Jim Cornette is justifying offensive comments that he made during an episode of NWA Power earlier this week. Now, if you missed it, Cornette tried to describe a wrestler's toughness by saying,
Trevor Murdoch, he's mad, bad, and dangerous to know. He's the only man I've ever known that could strap a bucket of fried chicken on his back and ride a motor scooter across Ethiopia. Trevor Murdoch can take care of himself.
Oh, my God.
That's not a spontaneous line either. No one comes up with that.
He thought, imagine him working it out.
Right.
Let's see here. Now, what am I got to do? And see, what are the number of things that come strapped to his back?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Okay. There was
a run, Kev.
There was outrage. Some people called it racist, but Cornette went on his podcast.
Oh, good, good.
Of course he's got a podcast.
For him to explain
to
himself.
Explain himself, and he said, I'm very surprised by the reaction.
Somebody said, well, if he hadn't have said chicken, it'd have been fine. Well, a bucket of chicken sounds funnier. It's funnier visual than a plate of sushi or a damn ham sandwich. So it just happened to be that because that was funny. And then because Ethiopia was noted for a place where everybody's starving, It's a starvation joke, not a race joke.
There you go.
Wow. Way to be sensitive.
Okay, Jim Gaffigan, master of the one-liner. Thanks for distilling that for us.
I'm not making fun of black
people. Master class in comedy there. You see, here's what I'm doing. Let's break it down.
Thanks for clearing it up, Cornette.
I am making fun of starving people. Now that's the thing. You know why? Because they're starving because they should just go find the food.
Wow. What a defense.
Can you play that again?
The defense is fantastic.
This is great.
Somebody said, well, if he hadn't have said chicken, it'd have been fine. Well, a bucket of chicken sounds funnier. It's funnier visual than a plate of sushi or a damn ham sandwich. So it just happened to be that because that was funny. And then because Ethiopia was noted for a place where everybody's starving, it's a starvation joke, not a race joke. Starvation.
He's tough because the starving people wouldn't be able to take him down when he was on the motor scooter in the impoverished country. They wouldn't because he's tough. And that's funnier than if I said he had just ice skated because he ain't got no ice in Ethiopia.
Oh, my gosh.
You know those master classes you can sign up for online, like $60, and Spielberg will explain shot by shot of Schindler's List. This guy. This is how you do a joke.
Oh, God. Well, I don't, my guess is that the NWA is not going to, ironically enough, is not going to do anything with him. He's right up their alley, is what it sounds
like. They're
going
to fire him faster than Mr. Potter on New Year's Eve, and it's a wonderful life. Because he lost the money, because Uncle Billy was a fool.
That was funny.
Funny. That's awesome.
It's time now for Kim Gordon. We'll get to the top five audio of the week coming up after the news. There we go. All right, you know what it's time for right now? The top five at five cut of the week, and which ends up being this week's top five.
Number one.
The Patrick Mahomes song.
For God's sakes, I don't know where to go. How the hell can you score one touchdown? How is that possible? This guy Nagy and this guy Pace, my God.
Yeah, he should fire himself, OB. Be a man. Fire yourself.
OB Watts Bears did beat on Sunday night. Although Trubisky got near the end zone, it seemed miles away inside. Did Nagy not coach? Was it something he did? Did the plays not turn out right? Now our season is over, but we still got 8-5, and now I say, don't you wish we had Mahomes? And we even passed on his show. And now every Bears fan sings a sad, sad song. Don't you wish we had Mahomes?
Yes, I do. Now, the last time I checked, there's four downs. When you're on offense, you have four downs. Not one time. I mean, as in one time, did he try to throw the ball into the end zone and score a touchdown?
I heard Dan Hampton's voice blaring on the radio. Said Trubisky's got a bootleg. Turn around and make that throw. But I wonder if he knows, does he ever see that blitz? And we should be in the playoffs now, and Pinero can't make a kick. That's why I say, don't you wish we had Mahomes? And we even passed on this show. And now every Bears fan sings a sad, sad song. Don't you wish we had Mahomes?
Let me just say something defensively. What the hell is he doing, Nagy, covering a wideout in the flat? Answer that question, you knucklehead!
I just love him.
And yes, to answer the question, we all do wish the Bears had Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Still have 85. I like that line.
I wasn't alive then, Ann. I don't have anything.
You got nothing then, Kevin. I'm sorry.
He got 06.
Mm. What?
I was at a viewing party for that. I've never seen a party clear out faster than that Super Bowl party. And I'm like, let's go. No. Get me out of here. And I listened the whole way home. I listened to OB, and it was the most. I remember listening to OB on the way home from my uncle's party, and I got home, and I ran to my radio in my room and turned it on. I had to listen to OB and Buffon.
Did you cry that night?
Mm. I cry most nights for OB, but yes, especially that night.
Yeah.
Rex is still our quarterback.
I used to cry after every Bears loss when I was a kid.
Kid.
And there were so many of them.
If phones were around, you would have been the viral kid crying over a sporting
event.
Okay, little Roe.
Brittany?
I hate the Bears.
Bobby Douglas? Virgil Carter? They're all breaking my heart. Jack and Cannon?
That is exactly what it was like. And it was worse if I, every once in a while, I'd go to the game, and it was worse. And you'd be there, and then you get on the bus, and people would be screaming all kinds of obscene things on the buses used to take you away from Soldier Field because there was nothing between.
It's true, very different.
There was, you couldn't walk anywhere. Mm-hmm. It was like there were those buildings weren't there. Yeah, those tracks.
No Uber lots.
And then there would be some drunk on the bus, and then he'd try to go to the bathroom literally on the bus while he was standing there. Ah, Bobby Douglas, my ass. Anyway, that's how it went. Well, at least we have
85.
Yeah,
the White Sox. Well, Blackhawks are playing well.
Yeah,
except for the last two.
Yeah, the last night was a bit of a heartbreaker. But they played hard last night.
Yeah, I mean, you can see 6-2-2 over the last 10 games.
All right, it's okay. I mean, feel good about that. And then we got the White. We got to get excited about the White Sox.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Contenders.
All right, here we go. Let's check in with Lauren Lapka. What's happening on the roads and the skies? What would the Carnarvon wagon be without an expert to come in and tell us about a drink? Right? Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm. Is that why I'm here?
Yes. That's not why you're here, Anna.
No.
By the way, we should mention that this is Anna's last Carnarvon wagon.
Yes.
As a relation to the Road Contra with Anna DeVlantis.
Yeah, they're gonna
run. Anna's getting her own show starting a week from Monday, right after Thanksgiving. On this very radio program from 1 to 3.
Post-divorce, can I still come back for a Carnarvon wagon?
Yes.
Am I still invited?
You should have your own.
I want to visit
you cannot
the
bring a boyfriend, though. You cannot bring a boyfriend.
That would be bad
that
form.
That will upset
not,
the kids.
Not in the first year.
I'm not calling him dad.
Working title,
like
by
him?
The way, is the Anna DeVlantis show with Anna DeVlantis. So I thought that would be the best title for it.
Thank you. I'll submit that
to what you did there.
People in charge.
Listen, after I'm drinking, I don't care about whatever happened, right? So that's how we got to work it.
Drink it away.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Jenny Wagoner is here. She is a sommelier at CPA, as well as Proxy, two of the hottest restaurants, two of the best restaurants in America, let alone Chicago.
They're amazing.
Congratulations on that.
Cool.
Let's, all right, and you brought bubbles with you for Thanksgiving. These are options, reasonable options for people who want to go do something, especially, when you're having people over. I think it's a very good thing to start with a drink. With people, it's to get them to sort of lighten them up
always.
A little bit.
Always at
right?
home.
Come on, even the Never Trumpers, come on in the dining room. Come on. Everybody's welcome. Put all that aside.
Yeah. So,
Thanksgiving.
And the bubbles are a good way to start.
Absolutely.
Also, a good way to end. It's a good bookend.
Okay.
I agree. It's great for cooking.
Yes.
While drinking while cooking.
I do actually use an inexpensive bottle of champagne or, the bubbles. But however it's going to be, because you're doing Prosecco here, primarily. And I do try to find an inexpensive bottle and then base at the very end. I throw it over for like the last 30 minutes. I just drown the turkey in that.
Really?
And then when it mixes with all of the juices down below,
nice.
It makes for, and then you whip it up and you add a little weight to it, and it's great.
Do you actually taste it when you taste the turkey?
It gives you a little bit of, you get a little bit of a grape in there. Mm-hmm. By doing that.
That sounds nice.
And it's also just fun to watch it bubble as it goes across the top. I think,
and it's fun to sip on while you're watching it.
Yes, sure. Exactly.
It's all coming together now. I like it.
Dries out a little. It dries for those last 30 minutes, and it dries out so you get a little bit of crisp on the, that's how that goes. Well, you know what?
Jenny knows.
You can do that for your tofurkey. Yeah.
Well,
all right.
But these wines you want to drink instead of cook.
Let's try them.
Okay. So. All right. Wow, look at
so
that.
So we have a few different examples of some sparkling for Thanksgiving or for any time. So should I just go into what we're tasting?
Start.
Cool. So we have four different examples. The first two are going to be Prosecco Superiore, DOCG, which...
What does that mean?
I'm so glad you asked. So everyone has heard of Prosecco. Everybody is very familiar with Prosecco. It's super. They've done a great
Italian
job.
Italian sparkling wine.
They've done a great job with marketing for in that way. But Prosecco Superiore is actually the highest level of sparkling wine. So higher quality, steeper hillsides, smaller yields. So it's just higher quality.
You could tell.
And you really can tell. It's fantastic. Smoother, because, you know, people might go into a restaurant, and I've had a lot of experience on the floor where they're like, you know, I'll have a glass of Prosecco, and sometimes they'll think of it as just an inexpensive, maybe almost sweet style.
Yeah. Yes.
And we're trying to break the mold of that, and Prosecco DOCG is done in drier styles. These are some really beautiful examples of that. So, first wine is a producer called Adami, which we carry both of these Prosecco DOCG at CPS. You can come in and taste them there. But both family-owned. This is called Rive. So it's a small hillside kind of like steeper. You have to harvest by hand. It's
Steep
not like mechanized. It's very special.
So what is the we can go get this at Binny's though, right?
You can get this. Yeah, it's actually retail. We're talking with these first two. Probably generally they're $15 to $20. So you're
that.
It's awesome.
I was expecting a much higher price.
It tastes higher price for sure. Yes.
It definitely does.
The thing is, so if you're looking and there's a sea of Prosecco when you go into Binny's, for example, but there's a little like a label over the top that will say DOCG. It's Prosecco Superiore. Mm-hmm. It's generally within a couple dollars of just regular Prosecco, and it's so much better as far as
great
quality.
Tip.
And,
excellent tip.
So that's a good tip.
We bring the pro in.
That's
a
hack.
Take-home.
That is an alcohol.
Getting drunk hack.
Right. Those alcoholic are things I tell mom and dad. You know,
no, that's really good to know. Me and Anna were talking. I love Prosecco, and I would drink it a lot as a casual drink. But you get those sweet ones, and it really turns you off. You can only have so much of it.
Exactly.
Agreed.
Having this flavor, I could drink that all day.
All right, what's the second one in?
Perfect.
The second one in. I think I just said the sex one in.
I think you did.
The bubbles.
I think we all heard that.
Throw them back to drink.
Maybe it's cold outside. New lyrics again.
I was going to compose them on the spot.
Easy. The second one is from a producer called Villasandi. This is from...
I like this one even better.
Yeah.
They're just great wines. This, and I think for value and quality for price point, it's something you shouldn't overlook. It's something that's a really easy, always crowd-pleasing, great for family functions, great to bring to a friend's dinner or breakfast.
So it's Cartizzi? Mm-hmm. Is that how you would pronounce
it? Cartizze.
Cartizze.
So far, my Prosecco power rankings, number one is number
Cartizze.
One.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, like
the first one we had.
Cartizzi, so if you think of Prosecco like as a pyramid, you have like the bulk Proseccos that many people are familiar with at the kind of the bottom, the base. And then as you're moving up, Cartizze is the very top. So
that's
very
its style.
Small. It's from a specific area.
Okay.
So it's kind of like Grand Cru, if you're thinking of the like level. So it's like Grand Cru-ish of Prosecco Superiore.
Cartizze.
And it's really, really, it's super small. Again, this is another family-owned producer, and it's just thoughtful. The grapes are better.
And this could be about $20 a bottle, too?
Yeah, this one will be a little bit more expensive.
Like $200 a bottle?
No, like $40 a bottle. $40,
I was going to say, it has a bit more of a fruity flavor, but not sweet.
So we want to do, so what they're looking for, really, is just this clean, fresh, fruity style.
Would you say it's dry?
I would say...
She can find out right now.
Yeah.
I would say
wait for it.
It's not super dry. It does have a little bit of residual sugar, but it's definitely not sweet.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So it's
I can't do this sweet. So I'm digging whatever.
I can't either.
To Lauren's point, you can have more than one glass because sometimes you go like, okay, that was great, but it's just too sugary.
So now we move on to number three.
Cool.
Number three. If you're watching this, this is from left to right. If you look at your radio speaker right now, that's how you want to say that. And this is from Domaine Carneros.
Right.
Is a South American.
So Domaine Carneros is California.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Yes.
That's close.
Yeah. So they were started in Napa Valley by the Tattinger family, if you're familiar with Tattinger, which we'll taste next, the rosé, more than 30 years ago.
So this is an American.
This is American. This is.
I absolutely love this because
it's so
almost
good too.
No sweetness. And
yeah,
it's
unique
just,
flavor.
That's the last drink I see you drinking, Kevin.
It's
a Prosecco, please.
I rarely drink that.
This is not a Prosecco. This is a.
This is a Brut. So this is going to be California Brut. It's done in the same method as champagne, but in it's It's a domestic style sparkling. So champagne is reserved for just champagne the region. Area. They're very specific about
yeah,
that. Same thing with Prosecco Superiore, really. If you see it in other places, the original is.
You like that? You
want
to? You're going to bring that to Club Dub?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We got
to my next Bears viewing party, I'm going to bring Prosecco.
We got to find, we have to actually find a team that could get a dub, and then we'll go to their club and we'll bring this. And then finally, Tattinger. Now, that's one of those names that
it's so
for champagne that you, you know, that is. From the Champagne region.
And it's, yes, and so this is, now we're in Champagne, we're in France. This is a blend of three of the main Champagne varietals and done in a rosé style, so get a little bit more richness.
All day, baby.
Yeah. That,
all
day. Well, that tastes really like good. New Year's Eve right there.
Yeah, it does.
So this is going to be, this is, so as we're kind of moving up in price point, this will be more like around $60 dollars. Yeah. On a wine list in a restaurant, it'll be closer to like $150.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah,
well, this is when you're celebrating, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it tastes like
a little bit more luxury.
So
that's a casual night out for Ro.
So 2.5x is what you're, the difference between going into a store and getting
kind of. I mean, it depends. It depends on what restaurant and what retail store you're in, but generally, about 2.5.
How do you know what to look for if you want a non-sweet Prosecco?
I would look. You want to look for brut styles. You'll look for it on there. Brut.
B-R-U-T. Yes. That's
Brut. I thought that meant something else.
A word that has I've never been described as. All right. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Jenny Wagoner from Sepia and Proxy. And we have got the WGN News with Kim Gordon and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in about 2 minutes. It's the Rokon Show. And the Canarble Wagon is out. Mr. Richard Roper is here. Lauren Lapka is here.
I almost finished all the Prosecco.
Kevin Powell
good girl.
Is here.
Have your vegetables, too. Will you?
They well, left grapes, us bottles and bottles know, of Prosecco, so...
Well, of sparkling wines, because you got there's a champagne, there's a California sparkling wine, champagne method was, and then the Proseccos, which we learned something about Prosecco.
Yes.
Which is that if you get it and it's Superiore.
Yes.
Oh, it's so much superior to the rest, for
it
sure.
It is Superiore.
Maybe about, in some cases, like $5 more per bottle
right.
in
so
the store.
Look
sparkling
for
wine expert now, no big deal.
Yeah.
We've got Miller Lite Prosecco in the fridge.
There you go. You can, you can really
God.
Impress a lady on a first date there, Kev.
See that?
I'm going to be in the bedroom doing push-ups.
Oh, God. It was very good, though. I actually went and got an extra
wow.
glass.
Nice.
Delicious.
All right. So, did you just very quickly for
yes,
people
sir.
Who want to go to the show this weekend?
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, but we can recap for folks.
Yes.
Great weekend, of course, to go to the movies. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. People have been talking for the last year and a half at least about Tom Hanks playing the great Fred Rogers.
Because those pictures of him playing came out.
Amazing,
like,
right?
Looks just like him.
And 3 stars for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. It's kind of an interesting take because it spends as much time about the journalist who's interviewing Fred Rogers as the Fred Rogers story. But it's a way of showing how he affected so many lives for children, for grown-ups, and was such a just a great American hero when you think about it. Fred Rogers, he did that little public television show out of the station in Pittsburgh, which of course then played everywhere across the country for decades. And he would talk right through the camera, right to you. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Ask you to be his neighbor. And then sometimes would address, a lot of it was getting kids to come to terms with their feelings. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be jealous, but here's how you can work it out. And he would do that through the puppetry. They perfectly capture all of that in the show. Tom Hanks is unnervingly good as Fred Rogers.
Well, he is unnervingly good at everything, right?
I'm hoping and praying that when Eddie Murphy hosts SNL in a couple of weeks, that they do Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood with Tom Hanks also. They got to do it.
Gosh.
It's almost too easy, right?
I would love that.
So 3 stars for that.
All right.
Then we also have a lot of the parents have been asking about Frozen 2, the sequel to the billion-dollar mega hit. 3 stars as well for that. Not quite as amazing as the original, as most sequels aren't, but it's still, it's got beautiful songs, it's a great looking film, and again, lots of nice messages. And it's great to see a movie where the princesses are the ones who do the rescuing, are not being the ones rescued.
Yeah, Disney's changed
Elsa
all
is
that.
The, is, yeah, you know, with
they
Brave
really
and some other
Tiana.
Movies like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Princess sister relationship Bob. Between Elsa and Anna is just really cool, because of course, in the first one, they were estranged, but now they got each other's backs. And Into the Unknown is the song you'll be singing in.
Is
Into
that
the
Idina Menzel song?
Yes.
That sounds a lot like that, Let It Go.
Yes. It's
can we have that? Can
we have Into the
Unknown?
She's got such a
that?
Beautiful voice, but
Into
that Let It Go drove me nuts after like a month.
Yeah.
Because
every little girl, my daughter was right in that sweet spot. She was like 3-4 when the first one came out.
Yes, she
and
was.
So every
exactly.
one of her friends was dressing in their Princess Elsa or Anna princess costumes.
What was the difference?
What's the difference between Elsa and Anna?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, you got a homework assignment.
Row.
You always knew the difference between Michael and Sonny Corleone, didn't you? But no, you don't know the difference between these siblings. Well, Elsa is the princess. She's the heir to the throne.
She's the ice queen, yeah.
Right. She has the power to do things with ice. And
my niece is right in that wheelhouse, uh-huh. like 3, 4, and it's incredible the amount of product that she, like, the stuff she owns. Like, my brother's gotten for them.
Olaf.
It's just, like, endless amount of toys and just clothes. It's
merchandising.
Yeah, the merchandising of it all.
In 20 years from now, when, you know, people do the video montage of someone who's getting married or something, there's going to be a million scenes of the little girl when she was 4.
Oh, that's when Frozen came out.
Frozen princess. So 3 stars for Frozen 2 as well. Good film.
Tell you something, Mickey ain't no idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on, let me play my song.
I'm sorry, secret siren, but I'm blocking out your calls. I've had my adventure, I don't need something new. I am afraid of what I'm risking if I follow you into the unknown.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, it's not as catchy, but I don't know what she's saying.
But I mean, incredible vocal and the visuals.
Oh, beautiful.
It'll win the Oscar for Best Original Song. And every casting director from high school through college to Broadway is going to hear a million aspiring actresses. What number are you going to do for us? Well, it's that Into the Unknown. I'm going to do a little bit of that. No, don't do that.
That's what she's saying.
But it's a beautiful song. It's a cool number in the movie. Make sure if you see it, you can see it on a big screen for sure. Those animators are incredible.
All right. Lauren Lapka, who just sang those last three notes, will give us the traffic and the weather.
Into the end.
That's Lauren Lapka singing.
Yeah.
She can do it. I'm telling you.
She's got the
pipes.
She's got the pipes,
kid.
Yeah.
She can do it.
We already wrote a parody song.
Yes.
During the commercial break.
We did.
About the Bears.
It was a team effort. I'm really proud of
us. Yeah, we're all going to get credits on the lyrics for that.
That's right.
Unloan, end zone. Stay tuned.
Exactly. Go see the movie this weekend, Frozen 2, and then enjoy on Monday when we do this.
About $150 million this weekend.
It's the... Oh, wow. Wow. That's a billion-dollar maker.
Absolutely.
Easy, right?
These films, Frozen films, also did very well internationally because it's such a great story. It's an international... You know,
how many of these do they make when it's all said and done?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Kev, because one of the other brilliant things Disney did in the 5 years since the original was they had a couple of short films. There was a movie called Coco, and they did a complete little short movie. I think Frozen is the perfect Disney franchise to turn into a Disney Plus television series.
Of
25-minute episodes, because there are so many great characters, and they could have so many neat adventures.
The Frozen thing?
Yeah, like Frozen, the
but
series.
It's always cold. I mean, does Frozen ever go to the beach?
Well,
that's the next episode. Frozen goes to the beach.
Frozen does go to the beach.
You can tell who has the grown daughter and who has the younger daughter when people start talking.
The snowman wants to live in summer. He's got a song about it. He's like, I want to live in summer.
Yeah, that's the thing. They can have all kinds of fish out of water adventures, if you will.
Olaf's agent, Bubby Dolling, sweetheart, if you're going to take him to the beach, he's going to melt. Are you trying to cut him out of the series?
Frozen 2 actually kicks off. It actually kicks off in autumn, which gives the animators a chance to paint the town, Arendelle, the kingdom. In all these beautiful autumnal colors.
Oh, there.
Yeah.
I really don't even know the storyline of Frozen at all.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, the two of them, after Star is Born, they gave up movies for a year and a half.
Listen,
really.
you got a dead parent somewhere or, you know, some sort of tragedy.
Two dead parents.
Two in this particular.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
You got some sort of sibling rivalry. You got a guy who's a complete doof and a jack.
Yes, you do.
And one can freeze everything, right?
She's got the abilities. And then there's some, like, super evil character that's trying to really manipulate
the
whole
thing.
Anti-ice. Right?
He doesn't like everything being frozen.
And then you've got a cute pair of buddies who, you know, for whatever reason.
Sven the reindeer and Olaf and all of them.
Comedy relief.
Buddy film.
So lovable.
I feel like this could be a hit show. Ro and Kev review movies they've never seen.
Yeah, right.
Didn't see it with Kevin Powell and Ro Khan. Well, I never saw it, but I understand.
Yeah, this is what happens.
So there's bridesmaids and they're all friends. But there's probably some rivalries among the bridesmaids.
I bet that's what happened. Yeah. The two best friends fight.
So Katherine Heigl wants to find true love. She
in
works
every
at a TV
movie.
Station, but she doesn't get along with her producers, played by Gerard Butler.
She hates this guy, but of course ends up loving him. Do Knocked Up now.
Well, they have to get to the airport before he gets on the plane.
Well, she got
Stop
knocked
that
up.
Plane.
Something has fallen. That'll be an easy
I
one.
I actually do see this as
the world's going to come to an end.
I would listen to that.
Let me get through security, even though that would never happen in real life. But I'm in love. It makes sense. No.
All right, now what?
Coming up next, we guess what happened in the King's speech.
Well, he's a king, and he's got to make a speech. He's got this. He's got a real important speech coming up, and it turns out the king, he's got a problem because he's a stutterer. I saw it in the commercial. And he's got to make a speech, and it goes good, though, by the end.
So these Asians are rich, and they're a little crazy, apparently. Sweeping the nation.
I would listen to this. I really would. I think you should. Ro and Kev should watch the trailer, and then they should review the movie.
So there's this Irish guy. He's an Irishman, and he's got a bunch of friends, and Joe Pesci's in it. I saw that in the commercial, too. That's real Pesci. Nice.
But they're all Italian.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
A lot of guys.
I never saw it. Never saw it. So apparently the Star Wars movies, there's been a bunch of them.
The big giant walking
100 movies.
Bigfoot's in the movie.
Bigfoot.
All right. We get it.
Okay. For God's sake. This is where
Gussie Frozen.
This is the reason they took Anna off the show. Exactly right. So Anna DeVlantis' solo show, The Anna DeVlantis Show. Actually, we're going to call it With Anna DeVlantis. I think is the right title.
Will you guys
for the
ever
show.
Come on my show, or is that not forbidden?
You have to go through Jeff Corone over there.
You have a booking
I'll
person,
stay, Mom.
Like an agent. Thank you, Lauren. Lauren,
I'm staying
with
Dad.
The mom.
Well, it's funny because we were talking about this at the game last night about the separation when mom and dad still love each other very much, but they
just didn't work out.
Yeah, they just decided to go in a different direction. When you're older, you'll understand this. Like in 3 years.
Doesn't mean we don't love you.
Like right.
We really do still. Yeah.
I'm still wondering if
Equally.
It was our fault.
Do we get double the amount of Christmas presents?
Yes, we will we'll be so guilted into giving you anything you want at this moment that everything comes your way. That's how it works.
Now, Kim Gordon, Aunt Kim, who replaced Aunt Judy, as you'll recall.
I'm Switzerland on this. So smart.
I want Aunt Kim's baking. It's so good.
And the kitchen's reopened, Kevin.
Staying with Aunt Kim this weekend.
Aunt Kim, because I've got, I'm a single guy, and I'm not so good at a lot of those kinds of things. And Kim is going to cook for the kids at least once a week.
I'll step up.
The motherly touch every now and again.
Yeah,
just take home a casserole, put it in the freezer.
Right,
be fine.
Right, because I know
we don't believe in
you're going to be sneaking over to mom's because the food's going to be
because all we are eating is pizza that we delivered every night.
And the constant sound of jingling. Beer bottles when you open up the refrigerator.
Or the awkward when you got to walk the garbage can to the end of the driveway. There's boxes of beer poking out the top of it.
What's Dad doing?
There's
a trail of beer dripping following
and
you Kim's, down the way.
And Kim screens all of Ro's new friends. Hi, I'm a sophomore. In college, I hope. Okay. She's lovely, Ro.
How old are you?
Yeah.
Did her dad just drop her off?
It's
all going to be safe. It's all going to be okay.
I just want to say that Anna will be watching, though. But Anna already has got some guy named Jose that she's run off with.
How do you know about that?
Who's the first one?
Some cool guy with a leather jacket and a Harley. Yeah.
And a motorcycle, of course. That's the way you got to go after the relationship. You got to go totally bad boy.
He's got a timeshare in Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going down for, I'll be back in 3 weeks.
I'm
going
to learn Spanish.
But Anna's got a spot in the flight money.
She picked up a pole dancing exercise class. It's just for exercise.
It totally works. Have you seen my abs?
A lot of Instagram posts.
A lot of
Instagram
Living
posts.
My best life.
Living my best life.
Here I am in a
Shed
yoga 230 pose.
Pounds.
Have you ever seen?
Yeah, you always get that. His name was George.
Why is mom wearing this kind of underwear? I'm very upset
Why
about
is she
that.
Shopping at her daughter's stores? Come out of here. Why is she wearing her clothes?
You can't fit that. Can't wear that.
All right.
So true.
Okay. It'll all work out.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be fine.
There'll be some transitional moments.
It's always when there's a Mustang parked in front of mom's house. Mm-hmm. You can't live too close
and then
together.
You get home and dad's looking through the through the window. Who's over there, son?
Right. Go over there.
Go knock on mom's
door. Go over there.
The house that I paid for.
Go.
She just had the leaking faucet fixed yesterday.
When did you change the locks? Who changed the locks in the house that I paid for?
What is she ordering over there?
Trying to get intel from the kids. Who is she seeing right now? Yeah. Does she ever mention a new friend or an uncle you never met?
Okay, what you got to do is go into the room and go through the drawers and see if there's guy's clothes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my.
It gets ugly, but then it all works out.
One big happy family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, I'll miss you.
Miss you, too.
It was really good.
It's really fun. It lasted.
My agent is handling the separation. Bubby, darling, sweetheart, I never liked him either. I think you're making exactly the right choice for yourself. Get away while you can. Just go through the list of partners he's had. Just go through the list. So, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's got to be great.
I miss all the fun that I had here. It's just, it's really, it's been like so much fun. And being with you guys just really has flown by.
Well, you're just saying that. But
no, I'm not. I'm not. I really have had the funnest time in my entire broadcast career on this show. So that's it. It's just been a great ride. So thank you.
It was a blast.
Don't say great ride. I'm worried about Jose.
Well,
this is
onto the motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe a better ride.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know what? He was never that good. But this is it's going to be an interesting run here because we got so many. The station obviously sounds a little different for people who are longtime listeners, right? That's it's got kind of a sleeker, faster sound to it, and everything that the new owners are very proud of, and it's going to be it. They also want to make it a fun place for people to be and a safe place for people to be so they can listen and you know enjoy everything that's going on. A little less pointed than some of us have been. I don't know where that leaves me, but that's what we're just going to see.
Just remember, Anna, awesome. Rose Radio Partners are like Larry King's wives. Some come back for a second round, so you never know.
True.
You know, yeah. Do the list. It's like, you know.
Is he on eight?
Yes.
He's divorcing number eight now,
right.
I think, right?
Yes, but eight out of six wives, though.
That's right.
That's how true. That worked. It's very Henry VIII. It's very regal. All right, we got the news coming your way for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis for the moment.
For today.
Yes. She is in the studio with us celebrating as the Carnival Wagon is rolling, and she starts her own radio program here a week from Monday, the 2nd of December at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, 1 to 3, that's yes. Right.
Let's all go around the studio and everybody say one nice thing about Anna before
thank
she
you.
Leaves.
Only one? Do we have others?
Come on and on.
We just don't have enough time.
How much time do we have?
We really don't. You know, speaking of that, we were supposed to do this story. I started this story earlier in the day and never actually got to it. That's what happens, right, on this program, is we start a sentence and it never ends where it was intended to. It was about there's a list out of the most dangerous toys for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense, because they always have the 10 best, right?
Right. So. This is the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
We made the list!
Right, we talked about, like, you know, when like, Rich and I were kids, that was a bit, right.
You got all kinds of hazards.
You got a shotgun, right? And it was like, now don't blow your sister's head off.
Jarts.
Right.
That's how we got lost, yeah.
Oversized darts on your lawn.
Well, we got lost at it because we had a paramedic call us who said that his first run ever was a guy with a dart in his head. Jart in his head.
He survived.
The Easy Bake Oven, that'd take down many a suburban basement.
They still have that. They still have it.
Really?
Yeah. It's come back. It's probably better quality than it was back in the day because I did burn my fingers on the Easy Bake Oven.
Well,
yeah.
The Easy Bake Oven, how did you... Because now... With the CFL light bulbs, they don't get hot. What do you put in there?
I don't know. They have an Easy Bake Oven. It's available.
Kind of food that gives you cancer. Let's face it, the case.
One of the first
skits
ever on SNL. Remember Dan Aykroyd? This is a bag of glass. Kids can have a lot of fun with a bag of glass.
Well, that's true.
So the watch list. Let's see. There's the Nerf Ultra 1. It is a it's a Gatling gun with plastic bullets,
which looks awesome, and I might just buy it for myself. This is like a fully loaded Nerf gun.
So it's not like the regular Nerf with the little suction cups at the end of them?
No, the same. Well, I don't know if the darts are different, but this is like high volume. You could fire off like 30 of these bad boys in a couple seconds.
Yeah, and it's got a battery. There's potential for ingestion. That's one of the great risks.
Open your mouth. Let's see if we can get it.
Create a target.
It's like the bump stock of Nerf guns.
This goes back to the divorced parents thing where the ex-wife says, did you really get him a Gatling gun for Christmas?
I know now why I divorced you.
He's 6 years old.
I said no catapults.
Are you giving him fireworks at the age of 8? He's blowing mortars off in the backyard.
Kev, Merry Christmas. Here's your Gatling gun.
This thing's cool.
Spike the Fine Motor Hedgehog.
Oh, geez.
Spike has a it's got little pieces that look like lollipops on them, but they're like hard plastic,
like as spikes.
Yeah,
they're a little,
and they're rounded. And I'm sure that the owners of the company, hey, it's rounded. What are you talking about? What could possibly go wrong? But it's a choking hazard, because if you get that thing down in the, you know, like you take, it's a little hedgehog, a little like flat hedgehog. It's got holes in the top, and you put the these colored spikes in the holes. What could possibly go wrong? I just wonder what lack of creativity of the toy designer was being shown there. I mean,
it looks like the most boring toy of all time. It's just you stick something into the holes.
Hedgehogs are cute, though.
This one's not cute.
No, not cute.
The Nickelodeon Frozen Treats Slime.
What's wrong with that?
That's not. It's, I don't think it's edible.
But it's called a frozen treats.
Yeah, it's, let's see here. It's mixed messages.
Kids love slime.
Yeah,
that's a big thing.
Yeah,
they have slime making kits at Target.
It shows the kids like making ice cream cones out of it, and, like playing with it, like
and eating it.
And then at the bottom says not edible.
This is like a Tide Pod epidemic.
One drawback in the edible toy. Don't eat it.
The Anstory electric toy gun. Which actually looks like a street sweeper. It actually looks like a real gun.
Totally great idea here.
Yeah.
Look what I got for Christmas at school.
Yeah, and all exactly. The alarms in the backpack, you can see the story getting, now on the news. Yeah,
you're getting speared by the security guard.
So-and-so school is on lockdown right now. There was a gun in a backpack.
You can see that happening.
Oh God! Yeah.
Look, officer.
The Pogo trick board, which is a basically one of those boards that's sort of a concave and you stand on it and it goes back and forth. They've added fun to it by putting a ball underneath it.
Right, yeah.
And wheels. So what could possibly go wrong?
I believe the Senate Intelligence Committee found that to be cruel and unusual when dealing with people.
The Power Rangers electronic cheetah claw.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, this doesn't look that bad, actually. It says hazard, potential for eye and facial injuries. You could say that with every single one of these toys.
It's a claw. It's a lot of toys. Where the claw deploys.
Okay.
Which I believe...
Oh, yeah, it looks very Freddy Krueger-y. Yeah. Almost like Wolverine-ish.
I'm not touching you. I'm not... I did touch you. I care about that.
But it deploys so it could, like, hit someone in the face?
Look at it! Look how... Look. Yeah. Can you see it?
Oh, for goodness sake.
That's got "Let's pick on the little brother" written all over it.
Yeah.
Hold him down. I'm going to get him with the claw.
Jeez.
And then the Vega pull-along caterpillar. This is for little kids. It basically has...
innocent.
It's a little caterpillar on wheels, and as the caterpillar on wheels is moving, there's one little problem. It's got a 6-foot like cord attached to it, so you definitely don't want a 6-foot
cord. Around the neck.
What we're gonna do? Hey, you know what? We're gonna be the horse pulling the caterpillar. Timmy, we're gonna tie this around your neck.
Jeez.
That's a little brother hazard.
Go faster, Tommy. Go faster.
Wait, don't step on it.
Wait, no, I want to ride it while you're pulling it.
Put your claw on, too.
I'm going to use my Nerf gun to shoot you until you move.
Combine the toys.
So congratulations to those companies and those toy makers. Listen, I think they're fine. And
Hey, if we've gotten this far with Legos, I think we can make it.
Sure.
Yeah, aren't those choking hazards?
Yeah, exactly.
You have to aerate the Lego now. That's the only way you can get a Lego is if you can breathe through it. Actually, swallow. It's like a stent, the Lego stent, which is, of course, I had. My parents got me that, so that was the thing.
And devastating foot injuries from Legos.
Painful.
That, exactly.
Anna, we'll miss you.
I'll miss you guys, too. That's been so fun.
Love you, Anna.
So thank you. Love you guys,
the best.
Love you.
You are a great partner. Thank you. For.
I learned a lot from you, Ro.